Hello everyone, this is your host Pip Brennan speaking, warmly welcoming you to the Fabulous Women of Our Time series. Here in Australia, our Prime Minister, not known for his progressive views, is our Minister for Women's Interests. We need all the help and inspiration we can get. So I've decided to target fabulous women of our time, have a conversation with them about their lives as women and as writers, artists, speakers, creatives, and share some inspiration to keep us all moving forward. So today I'm very excited to introduce to you Wendy Campbell. Wendy Campbell is deeply committed to the community in which she lives and has been involved with community organisations since she set up her first community group at the age of 16. Currently, she's an active member of Rotary International in the Perth Club District 9455. Wendy is a leadership coach supporting thriving, long-lasting organisations whose vision, strategies and governance are grounded in social responsibility and ethics. While all her work incorporates her unique style of creative rigour through the Glastonbury Company, she is proud to have founded the Resilient Leadership Program and to be part of its continued development with her six wonderful co-creators. She is also currently developing a publishing business, Glastonbury Books. Her Beyonding trilogy, published by Glastonbury Books, currently has the first book, On Aspiring, which is Wendy's memoir of mountaineering and the challenges it presented her with. Challenges she has survived and integrated into her daily life. We're not doing her work, which she loves. Wendy enjoys reading about, adventuring on land and ocean, and spending time with family and friends. She's been married to Rob, doctor and fellow adventurer, for 43 years. She has three adult children, two children-in-law, and two delightful grandchildren. From family to friends to colleagues and associates, she believes that social responsibility begins at home. Thank you so much for joining us, Wendy.
So Wendy,
my first question to you is, I wanted to ask you, can you tell me about your community values?
Well, that's an interesting question, Pip, and it's got me thinking what drives the decisions I make about where I focus my efforts. I think my family and the wider community that we live in has always been important to me. When I was at school in my mid-teens, I could see a need for I was at a girls' school, the girls in my class to reach out beyond the school and, reach out beyond the school and be part of the wider community that they live in. So I managed to persuade the headmistress of our school to let me set up a committee with some of my friends and work with our partner boys' school with the equivalent year. And we set up various social functions where we would interact, obviously with a lot of supervision. And that's when I began doing that, and ever since then I've always looked at what's happening in the wider community, because there are a lot of people whose lives are a lot tougher than mine, a lot tougher, and just looking at ways can I possibly help them. And then there's people who are doing really well, and some of them I've had the privilege of working with and helping them to be strong in that and do even better. And a lot of them do spend quite an amount of effort reaching out to those less fortunate, as well as to building success. So, I don't know whether I can put this traditional term values, this sort of you think of all, you know, honesty, integrity, all that sort of thing. I don't know how they fit into that, but it's a strong focus as to what's happening in the world around me as well as in my own little world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some ways, I think you've answered my next question, which was, how have your community values informed your development as a leadership mentor?
To extend on that, I guess... Yeah, when people need a coach or a mentor, they tend to approach someone who's similar to themselves. So the people that have come forward to ask for help tend to have that that wider community view. So why, while they are successful in their vocations, they're also mindful of being of service, if you like, to others who might need that. And that's how it's come through.
Yeah. Well, I think it makes for a very rich sort of a leadership mentor role myself. I think, when we were having a chat before the interview, I guess I really admire that about you, and that's one of the reasons that I really wanted to talk to you today. And another reason I really wanted to talk to you today is related to my next question, which was, how did your writing projects emerge from your work? So how did writing on Aspiring fit in with your business strategy and vision?
I didn't realise it when I began it, but when I started writing that first book in 2000 as part of learning creative writing, it was to try and put down on paper the learnings that I'd done from the climbing Mount Aspiring and with my husband and two guides, and surviving the blizzard and all of the toughness there, and then how that helped me to get through the really tough times that followed that I had no idea were coming. Just to encourage people to keep being strong, keep even just making one step at a time forward, and you'll get through. So that's why I wrote it, but I didn't realise, because it's first person, it's my story, I didn't realise the personal journey that it would take me on with writing my own story. You have to be honest with yourself and your feelings and when you're feeling vulnerable and all of those things, and that was a big thing. And it took a lot of work to be true to the purpose of the book, which was to inspire other people to get through things well. We got there in the end, but it's been a lot of learning, that book, in many ways.
Yes, and I think, you know, as well as the learning that you've sort of alluded to in the process of writing, you've actually developed a publishing arm of your company, haven't you?
I have, yes. I never good at doing things the standard way. It's sort of something that is right throughout our family, with my husband and our kids and the grandkids and their partners. But yeah, I've looked around at the publishing industry and absolutely appalled at the lack of appreciation and attention and respect that goes to the creators of all the content that the publishers put out around the world. And that comes through just touting my book to a number of publishers and getting the usual responses. I thought that they've really lost their way as to what really drives their businesses. So I thought, well, I won't just self-publish, but I will set up my own publishing system and welcome in other writers who they're looking for something different, where they're part of, or they are the key part of bringing their books into the public realm. Excitingly, I've got my first meeting tomorrow with a writing friend. We met at classes in 2000, and she's finally decided that she wants me to put her first book through the publishing system. But yeah, to make it transparent and respectful of all that writers bring, and then appreciate our readers. That's the purpose of the publishing work or publishing business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very exciting to hear you've got somebody coming forward to come through your publishing house. And so you did obviously take the decision to self-publish, which, to be honest, it seems to be the publishing world has changed beyond recognition, hasn't it? It's really... It's actually kind of better to self-publish. I mean, I used to think when I was first thinking about publishing my own book, I thought, oh, that's what you do when you can't get someone to publish it. But the more you look into it, you think, actually, this is great. You know, the possibilities we have as writers is quite amazing.
Oh, it's wonderful. And with websites like Goodreads, and there's many around the world where they bring writers and readers together, I think that's the best way to go, because the partners in the reading-writing relationship are the readers and the writers, and they should be the ones that are connecting. With self-publishing, if you self-publish your own books, it's hard to become part of a community. So I see those sort of services, they're very important with helping writers to still be part of their other people that share their vocation. And certainly with the my publishing venture, I'll be doing that, working hard on that, so that the writers that come in, they communicate as they need to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was having a look at, I've just recently thought I've got to get Julia Cameron's book, you know, The Artist's Way.
It's lovely.
I just can't put it off any longer. And I was just interested. I watched a video on her website, and she just talked about how, you know, people think writers are isolated, but that's just not the case. And we're talking about some of the great sort of writing communities that have been there over the years and have created such talent. So you should need silence and alone time to physically write, but you need to be part of a community, don't you, to really thrive and flourish.
Oh, absolutely. That talking time. We were talking earlier about the Fellowship of West Australian Writers. There are groups like that all around the world where writers can come and just talk about their current projects, maybe sharing some writing time, but more importantly, sharing the creation of it. Very important. Yeah.
So, Wendy, I was going to ask you my one thing question. What is the one thing you would recommend for people who are keen to get started on writing a book of their own?
Don't get in the way of the creative process. By that, I mean, be clear on, the way I explain this to writers who ask me how they should focus on their book. Imagine your reader has read the whole book, which will become, it's not yet, has read the last words on the last page. What will the reader have experienced in a shift in their own life or their own understanding, or just having a really funny read? What will that shift have been for the reader? Once writers can be clear about that, and having been through that journey myself, I understand how hard that can be, then they can get out of the way and let the creative process drive towards that, because it's not an intellectual left brain exercise. That comes with the editing and the structural work. The initial work is creative and intuitive. But it needs a guiding light, and the guiding light is that purpose, is the shift for the reader, because the only people in the end that writers are writing for is the reader.
So
I hope that's clear with that, what I mean about don't get in your own way of the creative process.
Well, that's really lovely. We've actually come to the end of our questions. I was really looking for that, you know, that nice 15 minutes of inspiration and information, and I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the chance to have a talk with you about this, Wendy, and I'm really enjoying the opportunity to transcribe it and to think about it more and get a bit of a blog happening around it, because I'm really interested in some of the concepts you've raised. So I just really wanted to thank you again for your generosity. It was really nice to connect with you, and I'm just really excited to watch the progress of your publishing house as it unfolds. I really believe it's going to be a fantastic community.
Oh, thank you, Pip. Thanks for talking. And it's always lovely to talk with you, and I hope it's been helpful.
Oh, it really has. Thanks so much, Wendy.